our Taylor-themed exercise, the big hypnosis twist, and diving into UMG's books. Welcome to the Unlimited Supply Podcast, your daily music TLDR in your ear, powered by humans living in peace with AI, and brought to you by Nodisk, helping music, technology, and finance companies navigate the music industry. It's Finance Friday, April 19th, 2024, and I'm Lars Murray. Happy Tortured Poets Society release day. I'm leading the podcast with the news that Taylor Swift's album was released today because you really needed me to tell you that. Excuse me if I'm a little short of breath this morning. I've been trying out a new exercise called the Taylor Tortured Poet Power Flex. First, you do a deep knee bend. Then you do whatever you want. And then you watch the media go crazy. Is everybody with me? Make those quads burn. You can find Tortured Poets Society news in the very air that we breathe. Now that we're warmed up, let's do Finance Friday. Here's the latest in music industry mun-mun. Well, we woke up yesterday morning to the breaking news that Concord Music Group is offering $1.3 or $1.4 billion, depending on which source you want to go with, to buy Hypnosis Songs Fund. The offer was at a roughly 30% premium over HSF's valuation and about the midpoint of what the recent ShotTower report valued it at. As of this morning, HSF's stock was up 30% on the news, and HSF directors are reportedly in a hurry to get the deal done. But Hypnosis Songs Management, or HSM, still has a loophole that might allow it to swoop in and buy the fund out from under Concord, thus saving a lot of face for HSM's Merck Mercuriadis, who is, after all, the founder and guiding light behind both HSF and HSM. This one's bound to stay complex. Will it turn out to be the ultimate revenge of the traditional publisher Concord against the new school venture-backed upstarts? Will Merck pull out a great escape? We'll be on the edge of our seats. This will be developing news at Billboard, Music Business Worldwide, and Digital Music News all next week. Apparently, rights acquisition is still an attractive investment opportunity, as none of this hypnosis drama is stopping Cutting Edge Group from moving even more aggressively into the rights acquisition space. The London company announced earlier this week that it had secured five rods, that's $500 million, for a combination of acquisitions and operations in the music space. Cutting Edge has been notable for its investments in the health and wellness music space and film-adjacent music rights. There's undoubtedly a lot of value locked up in publishing and master copyrights, but as Hypnosis has found, picking that lock can be a difficult process. Almost lost in all that drama over its TikTok ban, over Taylor Swift's overruling of her own TikTok ban, and its significant restructuring over the past quarter is UMG's annual report, which Music Business Worldwide plunged into this week. MBW details 9 takeaways from the report, and you'll have to hit the link to read them all. What stood out to me was that in a rapidly globalizing business, 51% of their business is North American, and that number has actually grown relative to other territories in recent years, despite a global explosion of consumption and revenues. This suggests that UMG has become more efficient at extracting the cabbage from North American fans on a per capita basis. Either that, or they haven't yet taken full advantage of global markets. Could be both. The other big takeaway is that 62% of its business is characterized as catalog, which means that the company has a pretty firm foundation that allows it to be nimble around the edges if it chooses to do so. Over in France, it looks like Believe Music, parent of TuneCore and provider of other artists and label services, having successfully fended off Warner Music Group's takeover attempt, is going to end up taking itself private after all under CEO Denis Legaudary. The board of directors approved a €15 per share acquisition plan. Story at Music Business Worldwide. Finally, Billboard ran a big story on bootleg merch that details the effects that online merchandising and technologies like on-demand printing have had on the merch economy. With something like 1,000 Taylor Swift-themed products on Etsy alone, it seems that this will continue to be difficult to police. And while all of these products, cheap, unlicensed, and coming from China mostly, are undoubtedly taking money out of the pockets of artists and merch companies, I'm going to go out on a limb and point out the fact that most of the bootleg merch sucks. And 30 years into the World Wide Web, it's also impossible to find a legit copy of an iconic merch item or even, especially, slightly more obscure merch items in any store, anywhere, online or off. It's kind of like when labels used to complain about bootleg editions of albums that weren't released to stores. Both problems can exist at the same time. I just want a classic legit t-shirt from my favorite band. I also want it to be at least a little bit better in quality than the bootleg. Let's fix all three problems, shall we? That's it for today. We'll have more on National Music Publishers Association versus Spotify and the latest on the Senate's TikTok for sale legislation on Monday. Support for the Unlimited Supply podcast is provided by Roifi, which helps independent artists invest in their careers and hold on to their master and publishing rights. To get Unlimited Supply every single day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Drop us a rating and a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts if you like what you hear, and tell a friend or three, preferably five times, because every new development in digital music needs to be repeated at least five times. Visit unlimitedsupplypod.com for links, to make suggestions, to challenge us on our dubious assertions, to feed us tips, to feed us lunch, and to tell us what we're missing out on. I'm Lars Murray, and remember, in this business, no conflict means no interest. Thanks for listening. See you Monday.